you understand what it means to be hurt. You understand the pain that it feels to be hurt. Why in the world would you then go hold that grudge and then administer that to other people when you know how that feels? Explain that one to me. Because if you have no problem in taking that feeling of hurt that was administered to you and then giving that to other people because of the way you feel, we have a huge problem here. Actually, not even we. You have a huge problem here. Massive problem. What's up, guys? What's going on? Welcome back to Motivate, Grind, Succeed, the podcast where we empower you, yes, you, to level up your life in the areas of faith, fellowship, fitness, and finance. Each episode is packed to the brim with practical tips and takeaways to help you to thrive. If you enjoy the show, it would mean the world to us if you can go ahead and leave us a rating and a review. Let us know how the show is helping you and how it's helping to positively make an impact in your life. We love to see those reviews. Guys, if you'd like to support the show or you'd like to contact me or anything, you can find all the links to that down in this episode's description underneath the resources section. Before we dive into this week's episode, I want to make one big major announcement, and that is that I am proud to say that I now have a brand new coaching program. So what is this program that I'm talking about now? Well, it's called the Foundational Pillars Coaching Program. This is for all my guys out there who are ready to start their self-development and self-improvement journey. Now, I know we talk a lot about high performance habits and the four foundational pillars on the show all the time, and I give you a lot of value. And a lot of it is just telling you essentially the what you need to do. And I give you a little bit of the how as well. But for people who want that next step and want to know, okay, well, I understand how to do this, but now I need some extra assistance in actually applying these things, or I need someone to help me in my specific situation to be able to get to that next step, or just to be able to just start on my journey. That's what I'm here for, guys. And that's what the Foundation of Pillars Coaching Program is here to help you to do. I'm looking for guys right now, millennial and Gen Z men. That's what the program is currently aimed at. So if you're between the ages of like 18 to like 35-ish, right around that kind of age group, you're already in the right spot. If you also need some help getting clarity on your goals, that's what we're here for. In the coaching program, we go ahead and we go through that. We spend a good amount of time trying to really get some clarity on your goals and figure out what in the world it is you want to do and why you actually want to do that. So that way, before we proceed to the next step, which is to create a step-by-step action plan for you to go ahead and start achieving some tangible results towards that goal, we want to make sure you're perfectly clear on your goal first. So again, in the coaching program, we go through getting clarity on your goals. We go through making sure you have an action plan step-by-step for your specific situation to make sure that we're actually going to start seeing some tangible results. And last but not least, throughout the entire process, what do I always preach on the show? Accountability. And I'm going to be there every step of the way to make sure accountable. If you want to wake up at 5 a.m., I'm going to be texting you, letting you know, hey, did you wake up at 5 a.m. or not? I'm going to be there to hold you accountable. So if this sounds like something that you'd be interested in, something that you truly want to investigate more of, or you want to find out some more information, there's going to be a link in this episode's description. Go ahead. It's going to be the first link. So I made it real easy for y'all to click. Okay, check out that first link in this episode's description. Go ahead and check out the coaching program. And if you're interested, go ahead and apply and we'll see if you're a good fit. So all that out the way, guys, we're going to be talking about conflict resolution. So why is this important? Because conflicts are a natural part of any relationship, whether it be romantic, whether it be just friendships, whether it be like a boss and employee, whatever, family, it doesn't matter. Conflicts are going to happen. And they usually arise due to differences in opinions, differences in values, differences in needs. Whatever the reason may be, it's important to understand that conflicts will arise. But it's also important to remember that conflicts themselves are not necessarily a negative thing. In fact, I would argue that conflicts are actually a positive thing, because not only is it an opportunity for growth and understanding of another point of view, but you also begin to realize not everybody's like me. Because if everybody was like you, it'd be kind of boring to go through life, because if everybody just agreed with you on the same points and everybody disagreed with you on the same points, what's the fun in that? There's no fun in that. You're not going to have any fun conversations. You're not going to have any of those fun little makeshift debates. There's not going to be any of that. So having conflicts, healthy conflicts, is actually very, very important. However, some conflicts are not the most fun. So it's always important to remember we have to try to resolve conflicts as peacefully and as constructively as possible. To resolve conflicts peacefully and constructively, it's very crucial that we understand the nature of conflicts in our relationships. So with that in mind, let's start breaking this down. Firstly, conflicts often stem from unmet expectations or, most oftentimes, miscommunication. We may assume that our partner, our friend, our colleague, or whoever, they know what we need without explicitly expressing what it is that we need. Honestly, this leads to so many misunderstandings and frustrations because we just assume that the knowledge or we assume that the understanding is there when a lot of times it is not. I, for one, realized that not just in conversation, but in trying to create things for the business, I realized that a lot of things that I do, I just kind of understand that I need to do. But then I realized if I'm telling this to somebody else, I'm leaving out like so much information because I assume that that person knows. And that's also where confusion starts to come in. That's where the questions start to arise. And that's where people can start getting like, okay, how do you not know this? How do you not know this? It's because a lot of times we tend to assume that people know things that they don't, which is why the saying comes up, explain it like I'm five. You got to explain every single step. Is it a little bit demeaning? Depending on how you say it, it could be, but it's better to explain it like you're five, that because everybody understands how five-year-olds speak. In fact, there actually is a saying in the marketing and sales world that is a rule of thumb that says, your marketing and sales copy should be like at a fifth grade reading level. That way everybody can understand it. So it's important that we communicate our thoughts, our desires, our boundaries clearly and holistically as possible. Try to omit as little as humanly possible. It's better to err on the side of giving too much detail than to give too little detail. So let's talk about some strategies for resolving conflicts now that we know where the conflicts actually do come from. One effective approach is to actively listen and ensure that everybody is feeling heard and that they're feeling respected. There's nothing more scary. I'll put the word scary. There's nothing more scary than somebody who's in a conversation and genuinely doesn't feel heard. They don't feel respected. They feel like their voice is not being listened to. This person, you will most likely start to see a side of this individual that you've probably never, ever seen before. And a lot of times it's not going to be very pretty. So one way that we can go about making sure that everybody feels heard and feels respected is practicing active listening. Oh boy, I know. We talked about this all this entire fellowship season, active listening. Why? Because not enough people do it. Why do not enough people do it? I don't know. If I had the answer to that question, I would let you know. But we don't actively listen. And it's so important that we actually do practice active listening. And that includes things like maintaining eye contact, nodding, summarizing what the other person says after they say what they say. Mirroring, remember that topic? A lot of these keep coming back because they're very, very important. Remember, effective communication is a two-way street. So just as much as you are doing the act of listening, the act of mirroring, you're doing the nodding, you're summarizing what the other person is saying, it's also equally important that the other person is reciprocating that to you as well. Because again, conversation is a two-way street here. You can't be putting in all the work in a conversation and then expect that the other person puts in nothing. Like that's not how this works. The conversation is gonna fall flat real fast. Another strategy to help us to approach these conflicts is to approach them with empathy and with understanding. Don't come in with your fisticuffs on, ready to start boxing somebody verbally. That's not what you want to do. You want to come in with empathy. You want to come in with understanding. You want to try to put the ego aside and realize, okay, let me try to see what this person's actually trying to say to me. Let me try to understand what this person is trying to tell me. Doing that allows us to put ourselves in that other person's shoes and understand their emotions and understand their needs. Ever heard the saying, walk a mile in someone else's shoes? The best way to do that is to, actively listen, mirroring tactics, all that good stuff we've been talking about. You do all that, and then you actively, genuinely listen to the other person and genuinely try to understand what it is that they're saying. You do that, and then this person will then feel understood. They'll feel heard. They'll feel respected. That way, what happens? You acknowledge their perspective. I didn't say you had to agree. You don't have to agree. If you don't agree, you don't agree. It's just, it is what it is. That's part of conversation. But at least you're making an effort to try to understand where it is that they're coming from, acknowledging their perspective. And by doing that, we then create an environment of mutual respect and mutual trust. And additionally, on top of all that, remember how I said you don't have to agree? Agree to disagree. Compromise. That plays a vital, vital role in conflict resolution. Because let's be honest, some conflicts, you're just not going to come up with a solution that both of you are happy with. Someone wants to go down path A, when someone wants to go down path B, and you're not going to, it's not going to work. It's just not going to work. So what you have to do, find a compromise. Find an A, B middle ground, and you go down that. Honestly, that is just the best way to do it. You find some common ground and you seek some kind of solution that both of you all can work with. Not both of you all are 100% on the same team with, because that's not going to happen, but something that you both can get behind and you both can get behind and say, you know what? Not 100% what I want, but I can work with this. During conflicts, I know we've talked a lot about how to resolve the conflicts, but let's talk about actually during the conflict. When you're actually talking, what do you actually need to do while you're talking during said conflict? You need to remain calm, remain respectful. You don't want to raise your voice, because if you raise your voice, you start sounding like you're getting a little bit offended. You start sounding like you're losing your emotional cool. Then what starts happening is you start losing your emotional cool. You start losing your steady grounding, your steady balance in what it is that you're talking about. You start blaming. You start attacking the other person instead of attacking the argument. You ever realize that before? When you're in a conversation with somebody and they start running out of ammunition against what it is that you're saying. So what happens is a lot of time they then, instead of attacking what you're saying, they attack you. That's because that person has officially lost the ability at that point in time to maintain a level-headed emotional state. They lost it. They lost it. It's gone. It's done. They lost it. It's gone. They don't have it. So you're going back and forth about something and someone says, well, see, that's why they lost it. They lost it. At that point, if this was a competition between who won or lost, I don't like using that in terms of conversation because that's not what it's about. But for the sake of this example, let's say if you won or lost to said conversation, that person, quote unquote, lost that conversation because now they're getting to their emotions. They're not thinking logically any longer from the moment they start attacking you specifically. So what you want to do is maintain level-headed. And by doing that, we can avoid blaming and we can avoid attacking the other person and continue to focus on working on not necessarily attacking, but addressing what it is the person said versus the actual person. That makes sense. If you get too much into your emotions, like I said, this will escalate tensions and this will completely kill at worst. This will completely kill any potential for a resolution process. So what you want to do is instead of attacking the person, you want to use I statements. Instead of saying you did. No. That's not what you want to do. Instead of saying you want to say I. Here's an example. Instead of, if you're going back and forth in something, and then instead of saying something like, oh, whatever you talk, you always make me feel like I'm being ignored. You don't let me finish. That's not what you say. You want to say calmly, coolly, and collectively switch it to an I statement. Say something like, you know, I feel very ignored when I do not receive a response to my messages. I do not feel respected or appreciated when it is that you cut me off in conversation. Could you please not do that anymore? See how much easier that was? You told the person, hey, I have a boundary. You crossed it, and I'm respectfully checking you on that boundary. I'm not saying, bro, you suck at this, bro. Why are you gonna cut me off, bro? You know I was in the middle of my sentence. That comes off as very aggressive, and it's just gonna escalate both people's emotions. You're not gonna get anywhere. Instead of saying that, say, take a deep breath. Take about a second or two to breathe deeply. and say, hey, I do not appreciate what it is that you cut me off in conversation. Could you please refrain from doing that? For I would like to finish the statement that I had. See how easy that was? You said it in a calm, cool, collected manner. You addressed the situation. More than likely, the other person is going to say, okay, my apologies. You can go ahead and finish your statement. Please let me know when you're done. And then there you go. Problem solved. The other person doesn't want to, then I don't know. We have a whole nother problem. That's a them problem, not a you problem at that point. But again, the point is, be able to switch your you to I. Not you make me feel this way. Say, I feel this way when this does not happen. This goes to the main point of what I'm bringing up just now, is that conflict resolution often requires us to be very, very, very mindful of our nonverbal communication. Because before you even say a word, people are seeing how you're responding. If you're sitting there crossing your arms, looking all upset on your face and everything, that's all nonverbal. People can understand this scenario, what somebody's saying, the overall environment. It's not your cup of chamomile. You're not sitting well with it. People can read it all over your face. You have to be very mindful of what you look like in conversation. Now, I'm not saying go grab your phone and look at yourself all the time and say, do I look angry? Do I look upset? Do I need a mirror in front of my face? I'm not saying do that. What I'm saying is you need to understand that you need to still at all times still have that open body language, be relaxed, have a relaxed facial expression, have a very calm, confident, but still very cool tone of voice. You'll notice like for almost this entire episode, I've kind of kept that to kind of convey the point of what it is you kind of need to sound like during these conflict resolutions. You notice I'm not screaming at anybody. I'm not talking loud. I'm not doing anything. I'm mindfully trying to slow down what it is that I'm saying and really enunciate my words and say them with such conviction, with timed pauses and eye contact and everything, that way I'm conveying through what it is that I'm saying and my nonverbal communication that I mean what I say. I'm confident in what I say. And you want to have that same exact body language, that same exact tonality when you speak, that same exact aura when you're in a conflict resolution phase. Make sure, like I said, you keep an open body language. Make sure you keep a relaxed facial expression. Don't be clenching your fist. Don't be trying to tap your foot or anything. Relaxed, calm, cool. How do we do that? Deep breaths. And remember, not everybody's like you. Not everybody's going to see your exact point of view. We were made different for a reason. This is part of life. Finally, I'm going to leave you guys with this. Sometimes, while we wish and pray conflicts could be resolved, not all of them are going to be resolved. It is what it is. It is what it is. So the important thing is, you all are all going to hate me for this. And quite frankly, I don't really care, because it's what we got to do. It's the best way that I found to get rid of these grudges, and that is to practice forgiveness. Oh, bro, you know what he did to me back when the day? No, I don't. And quite frankly, it doesn't really matter. Because the way I see it is this. The person may have hurt you. They may have said something bad about you. They may have even caused you physical harm. The way I see it, are you dead?
Really? That's what the question you gotta ask?
Yes, are you dead? Obviously, if you're listening to my voice right now, chances are you're not dead. Which means that instance that you had is supposed to be treated as a learning lesson for you to not go out and do.
What do you mean by that? I don't know what you mean by that. Can you explain that to me some more?
Of course I can. If someone went up and hurt you, you understand what it means to be hurt. You understand the pain that it feels to be hurt. Why in the world would you then go hold that grudge and then administer that to other people when you know how that feels? Explain that one to me. Because if you have no problem in taking that feeling of hurt that was administered to you and then giving that to other people because of the way you feel, we have a huge problem here. Actually, not even we. You have a huge problem here. Massive problem. You understand what it feels like to be hurt, what it feels like to be emotionally hurt, physically hurt, whatever hurt, psychologically hurt. You understand the pain, the isolation, how that feels. And then you want to go give that to other people, knowing how bad that made you feel, knowing how down in the dumps that caused you to be, what kind of a negative mental headspace that put you in. And now you want to go give that to other people. At that point, I don't even know what to tell you, because there should be no reason as to why you need to administer that same kind of pain to somebody else. There's none. There is none. Practice forgiveness. Did I say it was easy? No. Forgiveness is not easy. It's not easy at all. But if you want to be able to let go of those grudges and let go of whatever happened from that conflict, you have to recognize that forgiveness is the best way. It simply is. I know you're going to click off this episode. You're going to hate what I say. You're going to just be like, this doesn't work. What you say is stupid. Whatever you want to say, fine. But in my experiences, the best way to overcome that is just to forgive the other person. I didn't say let them do it again. We're not stupid here. I didn't say let them do it again. But you craft your life, cultivate your life, and administer your life in such a way that that doesn't happen again. You cut that person off instantly and say, okay, bygones be bygones. I was burned. This was a life lesson. I'm not dead. So now I know in the future, if something like this happens again, I now know based on past experience, okay, I need to leave that alone. Oh, okay, I need to not mess with that person. Okay, I need to keep that person at an arm's length. Whatever happened, you learn the lesson, but you don't re-administer the hurt. By offering forgiveness, we actually are able to open the door to help rebuild trust with people. Sometimes the person who hurt you, they know they hurt you. And because they were hurt, they administered the hurt. And so if you then go administer the hurt again, the cycle keeps going. Everyone's eventually going to get hurt. It's got to stop somewhere. Why not be the bigger person? Let it stop with you. Did I say it was going to be easy? No. But long term, long game, it's going to be much more worthwhile. It's going to allow you to move forward in life. You're not going to be holding on to something that Joe did like 20 years ago. Joe done moved on. Joe probably don't remember you. Joe probably done forgot about the situation. It was happening on a Friday. He forgot about it since Friday night. And you still ruminating over it 20 years later. Joe don't care. He moved on. You go hit Joe up. He's like, hey, bro, remember me? Remember what you did to me back in 93? He's like, new number, who this? And then that makes you even more upset. Joe doesn't even know you, dude. Come on, man. Forgiveness is mainly for the person who was hurt. It helps you to release that grudge that you have against that other person. Because like I said, chances are that other person doesn't even know they hurt you. Sometimes they do. If they do, that's a them problem. But sometimes they don't even know they hurt you. So what you have to do to help yourself is to forgive. And I know I'm going to get even more clicks off when I say this, but the best way to be able to get that forgiveness is to put your trust in Christ. That is the best way to get that forgiveness. It is. We talked about these things back in the faith season as well. So if you want to go listen to that season, go back and listen to that season. That was a fun season. But the best way to do that is just to put your trust in Christ. Put your faith in Christ. And He will give you the capability to forgive that person. Well, even if they seem like they're unforgivable, He still has a way of making the impossible seem possible. I'm going on a rant now, but that's where I'm going to leave it. Just practice forgiveness. Make sure you practice forgiveness. See Christ if you want to get some forgiveness, because He's the one who forgave all of us for what we did to Him. But in conclusion, guys, I don't want to make this a whole sermon, but in conclusion, going back to the point at hand here, conflict resolution, absolutely valuable skill that can strengthen our relationships, promote harmony in our lives, and allows us to remove all the grudges. By understanding the nature of conflicts, by employing the effective communication strategies that we talked about here, and by practicing empathy, compromise, letting go of resentment via forgiveness, we can then transform the conflicts that we have of life into opportunities for growth and opportunities for connection. And guys, that's what I got for you this week. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode of Motivate, Grind, Succeed, the podcast. If you guys enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and a review, as it really does mean the world to us. If you'd like to support the show or you'd like to contact me personally, you can find the links to all that information down in this episode's description. And also, don't forget, guys, if you're interested in my Foundational Pillars coaching program, be sure to check it out. That'll be the first link in the resources section of this episode. Be sure to check that out. For example, if you want to learn more about conflict resolution, you're having problems with your own conflict resolution, guys, don't be afraid. Go ahead, check out that link, read some more about it, and go ahead and apply, and we'll see if I can go ahead and help you out. With all that, guys, take care, and I will see you all next time.